I'm here with Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of The Dryad. Alexander, let's talk about Turkey, France, NATO, Erdogan going at it with Mr. President Emmanuel Macron. So I'm just going to start with a quote from Erdogan. So this, maybe I'm starting it towards the middle of the video, but you'll add some context to the quote and fill it in. So for all our viewers, this is what Erdogan said the other day. Quote, I'm addressing Mr. Macron from Turkey, and I will say it at NATO. You should check whether you are brain dead first. So Alexander, I read you the quote. Fill in all the gaps.
Well, indeed, let's first of all start with the brain dead quote that Erdogan is making. I mean, the point Erdogan is referring to, the quote Erdogan is referring to is something that Macron said in an interview he gave to the British magazine, The Economist. The Economist being one of the arch neoliberal, neoconservative, globalist, Atlanticist news magazine in Britain. I mean, you will get all the orthodoxies set out there in painstaking detail. Anyway, what Macron said was that NATO lacks strategic direction, that it is in fact brain dead. And the example he gave was the fact that one NATO country, which was Turkey, was attacking the Kurds in Syria and was carrying out incursions in Syria, which were inconsistent with the fact that the Kurds are friends of NATO and of the United States, and that this somehow is incompatible with overarching NATO policy. Now, Macron said that in a very interesting interview that builds on other comments that he has made, both before and since that interview, incidentally, in which he has been increasingly questioning whether NATO is in fact fit for purpose, whether it serves in its present form any actual role, and whether this whole policy of confrontation with Russia is a good idea. He's just said again that he thinks that NATO really does need to start mending its fences with Russia, and it needs to start having a proper and effective dialogue with Russia, and that this policy of confronting Russia is self-defeating and is going nowhere. So that was the overall context in which he said that. However, his criticisms of Turkey and of what Turkey is doing in Syria and with the Kurds has predictably enraged President Erdogan of Turkey. And again, can I just say in parentheses, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing his name wrongly. I know I am. Apologies, I can't get it right at all, so I'm not going to even try. It's enraged President Erdogan of Turkey. So now you have the two great prima donnas of the NATO alliance, Erdogan and Macron, are publicly rowing with each other. But of course, each of them are actually, I think, rather enjoying this row, because of course it gives Macron this opportunity to pose again as the, you know, great responsible statesman who's got this grand vision, who wants to protect the Kurds, who are our friends in Syria, who wants to protect our friends who are the Baltic states and Poland in Eastern Europe, because Macron is saying, you know, that these people need to be protected. And here we have Erdogan posing to the Turkish people as this heroic defender of Turkey and of its national interests, prepared to stand up to the Americans in Syria, prepared to stand up to the French and the Europeans over Syria also, and very significantly, and this is the pitch that Erdogan has been playing, which has upset so many people in NATO, apparently saying that he's not prepared to sign off on NATO's policies or NATO's strategy for protecting the East European states, that's to say the Baltic states and Poland, from Russia, from the threat from Russia, until and unless they come round and recognize the Kurdish militia as a terrorist organization. And of course, these two prima donnas as I say, enjoying this row, are each in their own way promoting better relations with Russia. Macron talks about need for a rapprochement with Russia. Erdogan has just announced that TurkStream is about to be completed. This is the gas pipeline from Russia to Turkey. It's about to be completed, and he's about to start. He's going to get it. He's going to open it on the 8th of January, and he's inviting his dear friend, President Vladimir Putin of Russia, to attend the opening with him. So this is in some ways, as I said, an artificial row. But what it demonstrates again is what a very unhappy alliance NATO is now becoming. We have three of its most important leaders, Erdogan, Macron, and Trump, all at sixes and sevens with each other, all often arguing with each other, and yet significantly all in agreement about just one thing, which is that they need to improve relations with Russia, which is flies completely against NATO's orthodoxy. And these same three leaders are each in their different way now, behind the smoke screen of these quarrels, actually agreeing with each other that NATO really is not fit for purpose and serves no real purpose anymore. Erdogan is openly contradicting what it does. He wants to say, I'm not interested in the East Europeans. I don't see a threat from the Russians. The Russians are my friends. I want NATO's backing in Syria. And if NATO can't help me with Syria, well, I'm going to stick my nose up, thumb up at NATO and do whatever I want. We see Macron talking about NATO being brain dead. And of course, Donald Trump has repeatedly questioned whether NATO actually serves any useful purpose for the United States. He wants to improve relations with the Russians also. And he sees NATO and most of the NATO states as a bunch of sponges who are living off American money to pursue themselves. So we have all these three really colorful and interesting characters all saying the same thing whilst of quarreling or appearing to quarrel with each other. Angela Merkel, who represents the orthodoxy, must be absolutely out of her mind.
Yeah, she's clutching her pearls. Angela Merkel, the queen of Europe, the queen of of the Obama Rat Pack neoliberal globalist faction. She's outraged at all of this. But at the end of the day, Alexander, this is just all about money, isn't it? It's all about kind of fighting for the defense budgets. At least that's the way I see it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got Erdogan saying, look, I'm not going to approve anything for Poland and for the three Baltic states because I want the money to be poured into Turkey so I can take on the Kurds and what I deem terrorist organizations there.
Yeah.
And then you have Macron saying, France, which is a big weapons producer, is saying, No, you have to approve the budget so we could, send weapons to the three Baltic states and to Poland to protect against a big Russia invasion, as if Russia really wants anything to do with the three Baltic states or Poland, has no interest in any of that stuff.
No.
And meanwhile, Russia's pumping, energy into Europe via Nord Stream 2. They're doing it with TurkStream, with Turkey as well. And then you have, of course, you said Trump, who has made fun of NATO, I think, from before he was even president. Oh. So all of this, Alexander, is all about fighting for funds, isn't it?
Absolutely. And of course, the other thing is that Donald Trump wants the Europeans to increase their spending and buy American weapons with it. I mean, that's the other agenda he's following. He wants the Europeans to buy more, F-35s and all of these fancy things.
NATO is a weapons racket.
Well, it is.
Just a weapons racket.
It's become that. Essentially, it's more than just that. I mean, there are geopolitical elements to this. I mean, we can't discount that. But I think increasingly it is looking to be that, frankly. It's looking like a really hollow organization, which long ago has lost its purpose. And what's happening is, if you think about it really carefully, Erdogan, Macron, and Trump are each blackmailing NATO, or at least the member states of NATO, by coming up with all these statements, because they're able to blackmail it, because they say, well, look, if you don't do exactly what I want, Well, I'm going to walk away from the whole thing because it has no useful purpose anymore.
Don't say blackmail, Alexander. You might initiate a whole NATO gate investigation by
Adam Schiff. NATO gate investigation. So true. So true. Okay. So very true. All right then. Let's put it like this. They're putting pressure on NATO because they know perfectly well, as I said, that what they're saying about NATO is actually true. It has no purpose anymore. The Soviet Union is gone. The Cold War has ended. The Warsaw Pact was broken up and put on the scrap heap long ago. So why does it exist? What purpose does it serve? Its only purpose is to do two things. One is to annoy and upset the Russians in all kinds of ways. And the other thing, as you rightly said, is to make certain people in the United States primarily, but also to some extent in France and Britain, which are the other two big weapons makers within NATO, to make those people extremely rich and very happy. So that's what it all amounts to at the end of the day. There's a few fanatics there who really do believe in this mission. You will come across some people who have fallen for all the nonsense about, you know, the Russian threat, you know, the way that Moscow is, you know, that the Cossacks are about to ride to the Rhine and all that. I mean, there are some people who really believe that, but I think deep down, they're numb. Even most of them know this isn't really true. And the number of people who really think in that way, you can probably count them on your fingers.
Yeah, NATO is, outside of the weapons racket that it is, it acts as a regime change agent as well.
But that's
also about carpetbagging and weapons. Yeah. And we detailed that as to what happened in Ukraine.
As we saw, first in Iraq and then in Ukraine, because we should say we've done many programs about the way people went into Ukraine and made huge amounts of money in Ukraine and their political connections. Before that, the same thing happened in Iraq, actually. Lots of people went into Iraq, and there are also people who've done the same thing in Afghanistan. It's one of the reasons, by the way, why those wars are so expensive.
Yeah, and let's not forget it was Bill Clinton that you could say kicked off NATO's regime change racket when he illegally bombed
Serbia.
So, I mean, Bill Clinton started this whole offensive.
Indeed, if you go to Kosovo, which has been another great recipient of American largesse, benefit of the U.S. taxpayer, you find that the sums of money that have been thrown into there are similarly comparably huge. And you ask yourself, where's it all gone? I should say, by the way, I've actually spoken to several people from Afghanistan. There's a very big Afghan community in London. And they will tell me exactly the same thing. If you compare the economic, you know, facilities, the factories, the roads, all those sort of things that the Russians built whilst they were in Afghanistan, with all those that have been built whilst the Americans have been in Afghanistan, there's no comparison. There's far more. There's still quite a lot left, apparently, from the sort of Russian times. You don't really see much in the American times. But if you actually look at the money that's been thrown in, I mean, the Russian aid was, you know, counted in hundreds of millions of dollars. American aid is counted in trillions of dollars. So, I mean, there's this vast mismatch between what goes in and what comes out. And of course, it actually does come out, but it doesn't come out in the form of factories, roads, railways, ports, not in Afghanistan, but, you know, infrastructure, anything like that, or education or anything of that sort, or healthcare. It goes straight into people's pockets and into bank accounts. Not so much, I suspect, anymore in Switzerland, which is not actually quite transparent nowadays, but Cayman Islands, Turks and Caicos, all those sort of places. Yeah. Cyprus, I'm sorry to say, Baltic states, unquestionably, and all sorts of other interesting places around the world.
So we have the NATO meeting is going to take place, the summit in the UK. So you're going to have Boris Johnson hosting it.
Alexander, what could possibly go wrong, Alex?
What could possibly go wrong? Exactly. So let's close out the video. So let's close out the video with Reuters, and I'll read you the passage, Alexander, and we could close it out. On Friday, French officials said they expected substantial clarifications from Erdogan rather than a war of words. Quote, let's be clear. These are not statements. They are insults, a presidential advisor said. The president says things clearly. It's up to Turkey to provide the answers that we and many allies expect. Macron's advisor said that beyond the issue of Turkey's offensive in Syria, its refusal to back a NATO defense plan for the Baltic republics and Poland was unacceptable. Quote, Turkey can't take the defensive plans of Poland and the Baltic countries hostage, the advisor said. Alexander.
Well, I think they're going to have a great deal of fun and entertainment from this summit with all these, as I said, with all these extraordinary characters, you know, Boris Johnson in charge, Macron, Erdogan, Trump, all there. But here we see, I mean, from Reuters and from this French advisor, we see the French line now. This is Macron posing as the great statesman. He, of course, he's never going to agree to have the security of the Baltic states and of Poland held hostage by Erdogan because of, you know, Erdogan wants things done in Syria and with the Kurds. And of course, what Erdogan is saying, these are just insults. We can't take any of that seriously. We expect clarification from them. So this is Macron playing the great statesman, which is what he likes to do. This is the pose he has at the moment. Erdogan is playing a different game. He wants to show to the people in Turkey who have no fear of an attack from Russia and are frankly completely uninterested in the Baltic states. Why would people in Turkey care about the Baltic states or indeed about Poland? He's showing to the people in Turkey, well, here I am. I am standing up for you. I'm going to use all the leverage I have in order to promote Turkey's interests. And as I said, if people don't like Macron, don't like it, well, you know, that's hard luck for them. So this is the game that we're seeing being played out here. I think in the end, they will cobble together some sort of agreement, because realistically, it's in everybody's interests to keep some kind of show on the road, at least for the moment. I mean, I don't think anybody wants a massive bust up at this time, not even Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump has an election in less than a year, and he's still got the impeachment thing to sort out. So I don't think he really wants a massive smash at this summit in Watford in England. And I think both Macron and Erdogan, once they've made their points and have set out their tents, if you like, they'll come to some kind of clarification, as it is called. But I mean, what this whole thing shows to me, these rows, is that NATO just isn't a serious organization anymore. It can do great harm. It can hurt people in all kinds of ways. But the people who actually, the leaders who make it up, no longer believe in it. And that's the reality.
All right, Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of the Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell to make sure you get notifications every time we push out a new video. Check us out on iTunes and on SoundCloud for an audio copy of this video as well. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation helps keep this channel up and running. Also, check us out on BitChute, the free speech video platform, and on Durant Video, our own video platform. We post all our videos on durantvideo.com and on BitChute.com, so check us out there as well. And also subscribe to this channel on Telegram, where we post everything, including a discount to the Durant shop. DRN20 is the discount code. You get 20% off all throughout the holiday season, all the way up to New Year's and even beyond. So, Alexander, what are we going to talk about?
Well, we're going to talk about these fantastic mugs that we have, like this one that I've been drinking from, and this one which I have beside me. You can, I think, just about see it there, which is which is the one with the Alpha Force emblem. This is that of the Russian Federation, but this is the one I've been drinking from today. These amazing 15-ounce, perfect, beautiful porcelain magic mugs that I love and we all our viewers who buy them, they tell us how great they are and how they want love drinking from them. As I say, I've been drinking my Royal Blend tea. When it's very cold weather, it's the perfect tea for it, at least in England, because it's, as I said, you drink it with milk. Some people put sugar in it. I don't. But it's the perfect mug to drink this from. It keeps you warm. It keeps you full of energy. It's got the right amount of caffeine in it. And it needs, when it's a Royal Blend tea, because it's made for the royal family, apparently, it needs to be drunk from a really beautiful mug. And here is a really beautiful mug, one of the best, I say this without qualification actually, the best mugs of this kind I've ever seen, because they're so well made and they're so wonderful to handle and they look so great. But we don't just have fantastic mugs, we've got amazing shirts like the one I'm wearing now, long sleeve t-shirt in this case with the Duran double-headed eagle there, you can see it, which looks both to the east and the west, so we're able to look at Turkey and we're able to look at France and we're able to look at the US as we've just done in this video. And you'll find that Duran double-headed eagle on all our shirts. All our shirts are 100% cotton. They're all beautifully made. They are incredibly comfortable to wear. They keep you warm on cold days and cool on hot days, as I can vouch. We've got long sleeve t-shirts, we've got short sleeve t-shirts, we've got v-neck shirts, we've got our really great polo shirts. The only reason I don't wear, I love wearing those polo shirts, but you know, it's a bit cold to wear them at the moment. But you know, other days, when it gets a little warmer, I will certainly be putting them on very soon. And anyway, they're really for wonderful social occasions. And we've also got other great things. We've got hoodies, we've got stickers, we've got hats. We've got amazing things. And you can find them in our shop, and you can find our shop, you know, you can find these products and our platforms, all our wonderful new platforms, which are really excited about. They're wonderful presents at this time of year when people, we're all thinking about presents. So what's holding you back? You've heard from Alex about the discounts. Go to our shop, help the Duran, help your friends, help your family, help yourself. Alex will tell you how to do it.
Just go to the duranshop.com. You'll find a link in the description box down below. Alexander McCurs, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.